is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio. Boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, Wrestle Talk Radio.
Ready? Let's show this prehistoric bitch how we do things downtown.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ, and you're listening to WTR.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Do you have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Omega.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Mace.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportions.
Biblical.
What he means is Old Testament, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff. Yes. Fire and brimstone coming down from the sky. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes,
the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Well, that's great. Either I have a monster in my kitchen or I'm completely crazy.
I don't think you're crazy.
Boy, that makes me feel so much better.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There's something very important I forgot to tell you.
What? Don't cross the stream.
Why?
It would be bad.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good, bad thing. What do you mean bad?
Try to imagine all life as you know it stopping instantaneously and every molecule in your body exploding at the speed of light.
Total photonic reversal.
Right. That's bad. Okay. All right, important safety tip. Thanks, Igor.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Nights, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're currently watching the death thralls that is TNA Slammiversary, where I'm pretty sure the Geico Caveman just picked up a win.
Yeah.
So, We're actually going to share some TNA thoughts for once later on, and maybe as we go along here. But for now, I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
I feel like we're back in 2004 when all this stuff started.
2002.
Yeah, 2004 when they went the monthly pay-per-views and started Impact, the TV show.
Was it?
Yes, because I was there when they announced the first episode. Actually, when they just got done with the first episode, and they were still doing the weekly pay-per-view.
Holy crap, I got a fact right for once. I need a cookie.
And it was the one TNA fact I could actually confirm for you.
What has happened?
I don't know!
Well, from looks of it, we're looking at the TNA ring with the referee looking very bored in the corner.
This is awful. Production-wise,
God,
awful.
Jeez.
Finish with the intros.
And as a special guest, joining us from the rack, we have Lindsay.
Do they really have nothing better to show than just the lights sweeping and the ring being cleaned? And, like, y'all don't have a video package or something you can show? For the love of God, put Drew Galloway back on the screen. At least he's pretty to look at.
To give you guys an idea of what we're going to be doing for the first hour of this show, we are going to live react to the final hour of maybe the last TNA pay-per-view. Hopefully not the last TNA pay-per-view, but could be the last TNA pay-per-view of all time.
Yay, they gave me something pretty to look at!
These are the comments you're going to expect throughout this show.
I'm incredibly disappointed that they did not visit the Churro Machine in the Magnus Storm match. Like, what the hell?
They got close.
Like, somebody can't go through the Churro Machine? Took out the VIP table.
As it's been well documented, they probably couldn't afford to take out the Churro Machine. Just throwing that one out there. This is WTR Sunday Night for those just tuning in. Yes, Kinkins, Lindsay is here on the show because we are basically throwing out the format for the first hour, because why not?
Let me put it like this. Brock and I were sitting here watching the pay-per-view. We got on the phone because it felt like we had to be on the phone riffing this, because it was just that bad. And then it's like, no, we need a group of people to do this. So it's like, can we talk Mason Omega into this?
And we did. So here we are.
Yeah, I'm trying to be the positive one in all this, which is really weird for me, because like I've been watching threads all since I got up probably about an hour ago about, you know, people bitching about it, and some of us are watching it for free on an illegal stream, rah rah rah. And I'm sitting here going, you know what? I should try and be the positive one. I tuned in for the Dollhouse match. I'm like, no, I actually found a positive. I like the gimmick.
Yes.
I don't. The look might be a bit too cartoony, but the attitude and the gimmick is really good.
Yeah.
Now imagine doing that gimmick with a less cartoony look and a bit of a more realistic look using the Bellas and Charlotte.
I don't know if Charlotte would work.
Oh, I can see Charlotte taking the Terrence Rowell spot.
Maybe.
Oh, look, and hold on, we've started the show, and I've already found a reason to tune out. Mr. Anderson's on TV.
Anderson, can't say it twice, because that's what he does.
TV.
I told Rock, I like the Dollhouse, just needs to be a little bit more sinister, I think.
Sort of like what Kong used to be.
Yeah, because she's got the psycho bitch down perfect.
They just need to be a little bit more sinister. What did Mr. Anderson now do to his hair? Because Robbie E. took all the crap out of his hair and just looks weird. Now you have Mr. Anderson with growing some sort of hair look, and hey, it's a random, it's Bobby Lashley coming to your ring at this moment.
Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, it's...
How many more rejects from the WWE do we have in this match?
I think that's it.
I don't know, is the referee from formerly WWE? Because in that case, it would mean all five people involved.
We'll have to get a closer look at the referee. I don't think it's Brian Hebner, so probably not. Could be wrong, though.
And Earl did his one match, so...
Earl got to wrestle to referee the unsanctioned match.
Earl got to wrestle?
He got.
No, it is Brian Hebner!
It is Brian Hebner?
It is Brian Hebner!
Which means Earl's probably doing the main event. So, yes, there is the fifth WWE guy in this match.
Okay, now, explain this to me. Like, I haven't watched TNA in quite a while. I caught last week's show, or Thursday's show, due to Jeff Jarrett's appearance. Which we'll get into in the second hour, so people can still stay tuned for reactions to that. But why do we have EC3 and Brodus Clay, or whatever they want to call him, Titus or something?
Tyrus.
Tyrus? Okay, whatever. Starts with a T and I don't give a shit.
You have to understand, in TNA, they breed Funkadactyls in a lab, and he's imprinted on EC3, so he's the alpha, okay?
Well, that wasn't exactly my question, but the question more is, EC3 is meant to be going up against Kurt Angle for the world title.
Yes.
Next week, according to what's going on.
Yes, in 3 days.
Why are they and they did the same thing with the Dollhouse. You had Taryn and Brooke in tag matches on pay-per-view, and you're giving away the title matches on free TV.
Because they already taped the free TV.
Because I understand I'm trying to understand the booking logic.
Because, please, dear God, watch our TV show, somebody, please watch.
Mace, I've been trying to figure this out for weeks. Once I found out when they're taping their TV, and then them taking the match off of pay-per-view, especially the world title match that their TV already pre-taped was building to, where, in fact, they said, in 9 days, we will be having our match. And then they got moved to Wednesday. They had to redub everything, and now they change it to a different day. It's because the TV got screwed up. That's the only logical reason. I don't know.
Are we really trying to apply logic at this point?
Yes, we are.
Really?
We're trying to stay positive, because, you know, everyone's...
Yeah, I'm done with that. I was done in the first match. I'm not going to be kind. Just, no.
Yeah. And it's like, Mr. Anderson and Bobby Lashley have had any interaction whatsoever on television. Except maybe once. And they're tag-teaming on the show just to get them on the show. And the current TNA World Heavyweight Champion, as of officially today, is not on the show.
Well, actually, technically the current World Heavyweight Champion is currently getting his ass kicked by Bobby Lashley, but...
I said, as of today... chronological order, Kurt Angle is still your world champion.
It's like goddamn time travel in TNA.
It really, really is.
I'm just happy I'm not the only one that thought that this looked like one of the Nashville shows. Because yeah. I got on the phone with Rock, and I'm like, this feels like a Nashville show. This feels almost exactly like one. All it needs is the yellow concession stand from the fairgrounds.
Mm. Which you had, sort of.
Which you had, sort of. But no, you need the glowing yellow, like, roof, portico, whatever you want to call it, thing in the background.
Yeah.
And then it would be perfect.
Yeah. Like, and we hate to be those people, like I said on Twitter and Facebook, and then, you know, got the TNA defenders calling, jumping down the throat.
Screw that. I love being those people.
But you look at whatever, all is going on, we'll get more in detail later. It's hard to look at this company and go, what's its long-term future? It's very, very hard.
Long-term. Huh.
You can tell they're getting desperate. I mean, they brought back Jeff Jarrett out of the blue. They're putting him in the TNA Hall of Fame. They did the ceremony.
Wait.
Spoiler.
Spoiler.
Get out of the TARDIS.
Hell, Dixie.
But it's so roomy. It's so much bigger on the inside.
Hell, Dixie.
So is Lita.
We are old school knights. He made a Lita joke.
Look, just because we can all fit inside of her.
At once.
But she travels all through space and time, so yeah, she is a TARDIS.
What is up with Bernus's hair?
On
what
top is or on bottom of his head?
Yeah, I was going to say, the face or the actual skull?
His skull. We've discussed the beard.
Well, yeah. It's not a good beard. He needs to shave it.
He's trying real hard for a mohawk. I'm not sure what else he's going for.
Like, the gimmick was Rockstar Spud shaved part of his hair or something months ago.
Where is Spud?
Not on the show.
God damn it.
Thank God. I'm spared some.
Hold on, if we're doing commentary, where's Spug?
Like,
if we're going to go old school, let's go old school.
man. So, what?
Okay, I want to say he just tried to break up the pin, but it just...
He missed.
Yeah. like a second too late, and they had to kick out on their own.
Wait, what? What does Brodus have on the back of his trunks? Singlet?
Spine
thing?
Column.
Okay. For a second, I thought it was something else, and I got very worried. No. He has a giant blue thing on pointing at his ass. I'm just saying.
That's exactly where my mind went once you said what's on the back of his tights.
Look at it!
Dr. Manhattan goes here.
Long shaft with a big head or a big bottom. You know what I mean? What am I supposed to think here?
It's just...
that's all he gets.
That's biologically correct for a Funkasaurus.
Oh, God.
But he's oh, God.
Now,
just shoved his blue staff into him.
Repeatedly. Yeah, that's not good.
Does he have a mating call? I'm just kind of curious.
Call my mama? Which is a really creepy mating call.
Mama!
So we're in the middle of EC3, and Tyrus taking on Mr. Anderson and Bobby Lashley, for those just tuning in to Wrestle Talk Radio, and trying to figure out what you are listening to. We are live riffing this show.
Well, you know, it would be apt, seeing as in the first three matches of this show, we said, what the fuck is going on, at least 7 times, so it's only fair that in the first 30 minutes of this show that occurs for the listeners.
Yeah. it's just trying to... You're waiting for something interesting to happen, besides the penis joke.
I'm waiting for Jeff Jarrett at this point.
I think the only reason people are tuned into this show tonight is to see what happens with Jeff Jarrett. And this begs the question, if Jeff Jarrett wins the King of the Mountain Championship belt, which...
By the way, Omega, Rock, Brent, Mole.
I can say Brent is the mole.
There's no mole for TNA. TNA will take its ideas wherever it can get them.
Because it is the exact Legends TV Global title? Was it Global?
Legends, then Global, then TV, now King of the Mountain.
And supposedly, according to the Twitters, Jeff Jarrett said he's going to take it and make it the King of the GFW Championship if he wins it. I don't remember him ever saying it.
Please don't RVD that belt.
Apparently WWE needs to bring back Sunday Night Heat. No, they don't need to bring back Sunday Night Heat. They have enough programming.
They have an entire network. Go watch a rerun of Sunday Night Heat.
It's not available. Just watch it.
What am I paying my $9.99 for?
the Attitude Era of Raw, which is available on the network. Like, does anyone watching this match right now believe EC3 is going to lose? Or be the one to take the pin, rather?
Totally and completely.
Since, you know, his whole gimmick is being undefeated and unpinned, and he's going into a title match. Do we really think he's going to lose this match by pinfall? Because I can't see it happening whatsoever.
Guy, he gets to look so strong here for a future champion. Okay, you immediately see some of the problems with a six-sided ring as they both go to bounce off the ropes and there's only space for one of them. I think Anderson had to bounce off the turnbuckle.
Ow.
Okay, close enough, Lashley.
I kind of want to see Kong mess Brodus up.
Apparently, I got to do this as a public service announcement. Tim Stein is on assignment this evening. Okay, people? If you're wondering where Tim is...
The fucks that we give a zero.
No, but people are texting him, wondering where he's at. He's not dead. He's alive. He's on assignment.
He took a vacation for the week.
I was told to announce this over the air. He's on assignment. Apparently, there are people concerned about his well-being. He's okay. He is fine.
Really? We're not concerned.
there are people out there that are concerned. Wait, why does he have the TNA belt?
Because he stole it from someone in the front row.
Yeah, he stole the replica from the guy in the front row.
Like, okay. All right, then. It's going to be mine in 3 days.
Can they stop showing the chick who's directing?
No. So, there you go.
I think I have the font for that logo.
Which logo?
The Impact Wrestling. Because it literally looks like they took a font off a free site and just printed it out.
Oh, my God. I have both of those fonts.
I think I have both of those fonts as well.
Yeah.
But does it come with a hexagon? No.
This is an awful logo. I'm sorry.
It's boring. Like that's the kind of logo you've put on the top of your GeoCities page. God, Mike Tenay looks tired. The guy behind Mike Tenay looks tired.
I think Mike Tenay's wondering why he got flown in for this.
No, he got flown in to put Jeff Jarrett into the Hall of Fame, which we'll talk about later. Spoiler, because TNA Dixie on Twitter even said it was a spoiler.
It's a really good sign when the owner of the company is spoiling her own shows.
Yeah, and they're giving him promo time. And
the fuck is she wearing?
That's exactly what I was thinking. What in the world is Cameron Jarrett wearing?
Someone was real proud of her She-Rock cosplay.
No, I believe China wore something very similar in the 90s.
Why is she coming out with him?
Because didn't you see her promo on Thursday? She supports her husband.
That doesn't mean she has to come out to ringside looking like She-Ra. She could walk out with the hair up in the bun and the nice top and the jeans and the heels and be fine. And stop making the damn duck face.
At least JB's not bulging his eyes. No, wait, there's the eye bulge.
He got pudgy.
He looks like a grown-up Charlie Brown.
So will Jeff Jarrett win the King of the Mountain?
The match they used to not put on if he couldn't wrestle in it?
Which is why it hasn't been around in 5 years, or 6 years at this point.
They literally, for those not paying attention, because this I actually do know, they used to say, if Jarrett's not in, King of the Mountain is Jeff Jarrett, so if Jeff Jarrett can't be in it, we're not doing it.
And I think, 2009 was the last one? I think that's what they said earlier. We are all confused with TNA Chase. We all are confused. By the way, you can go come to wildtalkradio.com and join us in our interactive chat room as we talk about this show.
That is how you do a cape, coat,
it's not a
thing.
It's not a cape, though.
It looks like a cape.
But it's not a cape.
It's a long coat.
It's a long coat.
Ooh, Drew in a cage. This could get kinky.
Oh, man. He could be stuck in there with Matt Hardy. I'm trying to think of who else is in this match.
No, dude, just trap him in there with Tara and Terrell for like 10 minutes and see what happens.
That would be the greatest segment ever. Greatest segment of all time. Because it would be like, yeah.
Aw, EY. Wait, EY got a tattoo?
Yeah.
Holy shitballs. When did that happen?
A couple months ago, I guess. I guess that's when he got it.
You watch it more than I do at this point.
I don't remember. Again, whenever they taped their stuff, it could have been, like, a long time ago, for all we know. Because it could have been, like, in February, and he got it, and he showed up in April with it. Who knows? It's been a while. Doesn't look good on him, though.
Hi, Bobby.
So, yeah, we're getting set for the King of the Mountain. So it's Bobby Roode, Eric Young,
Matt Hardy,
Jeff Jarrett, and Drew Galloway.
A match of long, sleeveless coats.
They all have the same sort of coat, don't they?
They buy in bulk. cheaper that way.
No, we're not going over the rules of this match because I don't feel like finding the rules.
I think they will actually tell you the rules at some point.
Like when they say it sounds confusing, but it's an amazing match.
They need to just like put a banner or like change the ring apron to just like a list of the rules.
Right.
So it's always there.
Wow, he has full entrance and all.
Wow, that dress does not do nice things for her.
That
really does not do nice things for her.
It's like it has gaps for love handles.
Like, now honestly, this is a surreal moment, because no one here probably thought we would see Jeff Jarrett back in the TNA ring.
Oh, no, he showed up last week, and it was like, holy crap.
Exactly, it's like, holy fuck. But, you know, as they say in wrestling, never say never.
Yeah, that's exactly what, right. But it's like, wow. Just Jeff Jarrett is competing in a TNA match, probably for the final time, supposedly.
Ooh, it does even less nice things from the side and the back.
Yeah, she's right about that.
That is that there were way better dress choices than that, I'm sure.
She had to bling it all out for tonight.
She has two different versions of bling. She has horizontal bling on her ass. Does she realize how big that's gonna look?
And this is why we have Lindsay on the show.
God, even the belt looks worn out. That was red at some point, right?
At some point, yeah. I think they changed the leather on it.
Because it just looks old and dirty at this point.
Matt, calm yourself. Calm down.
Oh, yeah, you're way ahead of me now.
What kind of faces is Matt Hardy making?
The face that he just got into his brother's stash.
Okay, just wondering.
It wouldn't be so bad if she didn't have the armbands and the headband.
But that makes her the queen of the mountain.
No, she needs a tiara, and then she can be Queen Karen.
They don't have the money in the budget for a crown.
She doesn't work for the company. She can buy her own damn tiara.
That
or just go steal it out of Dixie's office. I'm sure she's got one.
That legit is the old belt. And it's, yeah, says something right there. It really says something.
I actually like that belt better than their current heavyweight belt.
Oh, the reaction on Twitter is always amusing. Karen's dress seems too much for Slammiversary Movement. Right at home at the BET Awards. They got a point.
It is kind of something Queen Charmel would wear.
It might have been hers. It really could have been.
It might still be. She might just have it on loan.
So are they going to hang? Oh, wait, no. They have to climb up and hang
the belt. No. They have to grab the belt, go up the ladder, hang the belt, take the belt off.
No, first, they have to pin someone to get the ability to be able to get the belt and then start the whole climb.
Okay, guys, now we talked about this before the match. Should everyone remember their black and gray ring attire? Alright. Alpha EY.
So instead of Blue Tista, we have Green Young. Doesn't work.
No.
Greeny EY? Karen, just go stand on the ramp. Get the hell away from ringside and just go stand on the damn ramp.
No, she's got to show off the dress.
She can show off the dress on the stage and not get hit in the face with a ladder.
But she's got to be on camera.
Okay, then she can be in the cage. She can be the cage model.
That would be old TNA right there, where they had this.
Dude, they should have totally broken out the cage dancers.
What was it? What, Lollipop and something like that?
Goldilocks and...
No, Goldilocks was just the announcer, wasn't she? Or was she one of the dancers? I thought it was like Lollipop and something else.
Hold on. To the Google.
To the Googles.
Quick, find out what stripper name it was.
We're trying to figure out TNA strippers. There's your... Yeah. TNA strippers.
Cage dancers.
No, never mind, because TNA strippers... This is going to turn up a lot of results that have nothing to do with wrestling.
Actually, the first one, all the TNA knockouts look like strippers. From the game FAQs message board.
Oh, well, God, game FAQs. Yeah, you went to a real den of intelligence on that one.
No, that's the first link on Google, was the game FAQs board.
Oh, Jeff, you silly bitch.
Oh, no, Jeff has to be stuck in a cage for, what, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes?
Kinky.
And the other one's TNA Entertainment, hire stripper in Perth. TNA Video, which TNA wrestler worked as a male stripper? I love my big booty strippers. Love girls in TNA. And then Bully Ray and his strippers are the first five links on Google.
It was Lollipop and April Pennington.
God. Okay. I was right. I got one of them. God, it's the same old TNA ladders, too.
The one ladder.
The one black ladder that they finally scraped off the TNAWrestling.com logo off of. Because forever it said TNA Wrestling.
Jeff currently inside the cage. Because hoping for a reprieve from RoboCop.
He's in the cage because he hasn't wrestled in how many months, and probably very winded. So let's take a 2-minute break.
Yeah, because this looks more convincing than a bunch of rest holds.
Because you really can't do a rest hold in this match.
No, the cage would actually mean is actually going to mean something if they actually remember that there has to be tension in the match happening. Like he needs to be going for the title or something.
And it was what Bobby Roode was the one who made the pinfall.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
So Roode has now qualified. Jarrett gets the penalty, and Eric Young has to carry the baby. I don't know. I don't know these rules.
We're trying to figure them out as we go. All right, he's in a few seconds. Jeff Jarrett will be allowed to get back in this match.
Oh, this will actually tell me exactly how far behind I am.
10? How about 10?
Okay, then we're dead synced.
Yeah.
He's already out for me.
Stop it, future woman.
And Jeff Jarrett's out now. There we go. You know, who needs to be synced up for this stuff? It doesn't matter, really, in the long run. Did he really just... Wow.
I'll admit, that's actually kind of smart.
Jeff is back in the cage. You really know he's not wrestled in a while, where they're all pinning Jeff Jarrett. But hey, at least Eric Young is using the ladder.
All right, Matt, your turn.
Gotta wait 2 minutes. All right, so my question is, if Matt Hardy were to climb up that ladder and grab the belt from UI and put it up on there, he wouldn't win. Just think about that.
Yeah.
If he were to climb up that ladder. By the way, for those tuning in, Tim Stein is on assignment, and we're riffing the TNA pay-per-view because it could be the final TNA pay-per-view of all time. We hope not.
Yeah, it's historic. That's about the only reason we're doing this.
And it's the first live TNA pay-per-view in a year.
Pretty much.
Jarrett wants to know, how's the production of this pay-per-view?
On par with TNA of 2004.
Considering there's like a 4-minute span in there where we were staring at a far shot of the ring.
As they cleaned it.
Which is what they usually do, because...
It's like the camera angle of, like, when you're in creator wrestler mode in WWE.
Matt Hardy is 40 years old. Wow. Makes sense. But congrats to Matt Hardy, though.
Yes.
I like how you congratulate him as he's writhing in pain.
Well, yeah. Well, he just had a son? Daughter?
To be fair, his wife Spawn. Was writhing in pain to, you know, give yeah. birth to the child, so...
His wife, Ruby Sky, just gave birth to a child. You could follow the child at Baby Hardy Brand on Twitter, if you would so choose.
God, how long before the baby is jumping off its crib?
Right, give it 6 months. Chase, I thought all their pay-per-views were live. The last pay-per-view they've done was Bound for Glory, and they taped that in Japan. It aired on 24-hour tape delay. And pay-per-view before that was Slammiversary. Jeff Jarrett got the hot tag. Oh, no, he just came out of the cage. And he had a son. Okay, thank you. Yes,
and back out of the match.
And back out of the match. And yes, King Kane's baby has a Twitter. The baby had a Twitter before the baby was even born. It just knew it had to be on social media while I was in the womb.
It has an iPhone in there. Don't ask how they got it up in there, but it has an iPhone in there.
Well, you know.
You can laugh, but the baby's never had less than 3 bars.
Oh, God. Oh, God. We got 2 men going in a cage together.
Team Canada! It's a reunion!
It's a reunion of Team Canada as Bobby Roode and Eric Young are being trapped in a cage.
And EY was pinned for, like, a 17 count and walking around fine as if, like, he didn't get knocked on his ass at all.
I like how Eric Young is now... They haven't seen eye to eye in forever, and now they're trying to work together while they're stuck in a cage. It's just one of those weird things. Did Drew Galloway pin someone?
I think he pinned either Roode or EY.
Okay, just trying to keep up to date with what's going on.
Only Jeff Jarrett is not qualified right now. So, like, they very quickly fucked that stipulation.
Hello, Mr. Diddy. Welcome to the program. We are live riffing the TNA Spectacular known as Slammiversary, for those wondering what is going on.
Matt, don't jump around like that. Your jiggle is showing.
Your jiggle is showing.
God, the stroke still looks terrible.
Wait, so is the goal of the TNA wrestlers to keep Jeff Jarrett away from it? Is that the goal? Because why would Matt Hardy be breaking up a pin?
keep it. Well, was it Jeff trying to pin?
Jeff was trying to make a pin, and Matt Hardy broke it up.
Well, it keeps him from qualifying. Like he can't win the match unless he gets a pinfall.
Why did an unsanctioned match need a referee and a pinfall to end?
Well, just in general, like the phrase unsanctioned match is bullshit because they still let you use the ring, they still turn on the lights, they still play your music, they still actually treat it like a match. So
I want one unsanctioned match where just starts backstage somewhere and they just fight throughout the whole pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And like then spill out at some point.
Like a backstage brawl. That's an unsanctioned match.
I actually kind of wanted it to go all over Universal Studios. Like they're going down the Jurassic Park ride and they're fucking each other up.
That would be good.
Maybe. Now they're wrestling on the ship in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes! Sorry.
No, I was going to say, Mace, as the wrestler of the bunch, what is your take on the match?
The...
Just trying to throw you back involved in the show, that's all. Are they saying We the People?
No, they're saying Oh Canada.
Okay. Well, because they placed their hands over the heart, and, you know, we all know it's We the People.
Bobby Roode started to go for the entire song. Not just the Oh Canada part.
Trying to compete with Bo Dallas and singing.
Except The Rock's not going to show up.
No, The Rock will not be at the TNA pay-per-view.
So the Team Canada reunion happened about as long as the Shield reunion.
Pretty much. Mace used to wrestle down in Australia, Chase. People are wondering, Mace wrestles? Yes, Mace is a former professional wrestler. Would you say?
Yes, I used to wrestle for multiple federations in Australia, probably about 4 or 5 years ago. I got injured, took time off, haven't really been bothered to go back yet.
Love Jeff is trying to crawl into somebody. No, we're not going to let you.
What the fuck do I have to do?
Right? What the fuck do I have to do to cover somebody?
He's so lost.
One, two, three. So now Matt Hardy and Drew Galloway get to go in a cage together. Yes, Mace is Australian. I think he at one point thought you were the British guy.
We have a British guy?
Do I stutter?
Thank you, Mace. I knew that's where you were going. Thank you very much. You didn't disappoint.
He's old TNA guard here.
Yes, we're live. Can't say we're doing live 505, but we're live reacting to the pay-per-view. So, enjoy. For another 13 minutes, maybe. Not even.
Technically not live.
Technically not live. One of us is live.
Karen? Even then, Karen. You people on the stream are like 20 seconds behind where we actually are.
Ugh. So you have two sweaty men in a cage. You have one chosen one.
You have She-Ra.
You can slap harder than that, just saying.
What, no dust?
No dust. No dust. No, they only could afford one thing of dust.
Oh, right, I forgot this is TNA.
So Jeff Storm can't... got the nut dust?
Storm got the nut dust, yes.
I forgot this was TNA. Jeff can't get a pinfall without a guitar shot.
This is where we go. Vintage TNA.
Jeff, honey. Honey, Drew has your belt. You may want to stop him. Now Matt has your belt. Jeff.
Spoilers.
Sorry that I'm ahead of you.
She's good. Let it go. Just, I love how Jeff, you know, he should not escort them in the cage. He should, you know.
Go. Wait, they have two ladders?
Wow.
That one has been set up there since literally the first minute.
It was a 2-for-1 sale at Home Depot.
Apparently.
Well, they're setting up for the obvious, ladder as table spot.
They have three!
What?
Wow.
Sale at Home Depot.
Dollar store. They're dollar store ladders.
I love it. One referee hands the belt to the other referee. And like, nope, can I have a belt? Jeff was like, nope, I want the belt now. He should just lift the belt in the ring.
Jeff just needs to grab the belt and run with it. Coming soon to GFW.
Yeah. I'm going to Global Force. Ha 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 ha! Run off.
Because, you know, he's taking half the talent with him, so.
Which we'll get into in the second hour of the show.
What the hell was that?
A bump.
I don't know. I just saw a very bad head scissor.
It was, not even sure what you...
What do you even call that?
An awkward pile driver. How does this affect GFW's relationship with New Japan? It doesn't. But yeah, we'll answer all those questions in the second hour. Once the paper is over, we're going to talk about TNA.
Okay, so TNA successfully made a pile driver into a ladder look tame.
Drew, what are you doing? Drew, no. No, that's a bad Drew. No.
Oh, now I'm in such suspense. What is Drew
no.
doing?
No. Oh, damn it. Was that really necessary?
Yes.
Come on, you know if that was Dean Ambrose doing that, we'd be loving it.
I'd still be telling him no.
That is what she does.
I'm pretty sure Dean Ambrose's and Roman Reigns' entire relationship is Roman following Dean everywhere going, dude, no. Like, that's it.
And now that everyone's dead...
Did Kane Kittens get my pick change?
Kane Kittens, did you get her pick change? We'll wait for him to respond.
The poor belt, it's going to get broken before this match is over.
It's like one instruction. Please don't break the belt. We can't afford a new one.
He goes, yeah, but he left the sheet at home. Sad boy. Leaving stuff at home. You should always bring all your stuff to work.
It is home.
I know. Just love it. Once the belt hits the ground, the referees have to get rid of the belt.
Well, apparently not, because Matt's just picking it up and running with it.
Apparently, they changed the rules. I don't know. They were doing the...
How would you tell?
I don't know.
Matt wants to get paid, so he's taking it to make sure that he can sell it for money.
I work for TNA, and I just had a baby. I need to pawn shit.
Why are there two hooks, by the way? Anyone realize that? There are two hooks at the top.
Because they saw WWE's double belt thing, and they decided to copy it, except they couldn't afford it to be, like, dipped in gold alloy. Be all fancy and shit, so they were like, ah, screw it, let's just get two hooks.
What's even the point of the hooks? Just hang it on the bar.
Oh, now you're just bringing logic into this.
No, that would mean they would have to unstrap the belt and then strap it on. This, they can just hook it onto the thing.
Yes, but I want the added layer. I want them to have to actually unclasp the belt, wrap it around the bar, clasp the belt, let go of the belt so it hangs, grab the belt, unclasp the belt.
Ow.
Didn't they used to do that? I'm not sure.
Jeff, honey, you didn't pin anybody.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He used his guitar and pinned someone.
Oh, does he still get a shot, even though that was, like, 10 minutes ago?
No, once you pin someone, it's you're eligible.
Yeah, it doesn't expire.
Yeah. When you pin someone again, that just sends them to the box. But once you make your first pin, you're eligible.
Son of a bitch.
Well, that makes sense, actually.
Wow, it happened. The winner and king of the mountain... Jeff Jarrett.
I'm shocked.
Petey Williams retired.
Aww.
Just so people are aware, because they're asking in the chat. What happened to Petey Williams? He retired.
I know, it was a very sad day in pro wrestling.
No more Little Petey Pump.
No more Little Petey Pump, no.
No more Canadian Destroyer.
Did they just steal somebody's sign?
Maybe.
I'd say so.
So, is he legit now taking the... Yeah.
He's legit taking the title.
Is that what they're saying?
There's a child. Why is there a child? Is that his child?
Maybe
they're small people. Why are they small people?
They're probably his children.
Yeah, I believe this is the combined family.
Yeah.
Ah, and that's it. Okay.
All right, then.
So, yeah, big surprise. If you have someone who goes, you know, who's invented King of the Mountain.
He becomes King of the Mountain.
And is...
The final...
Oh, if you have someone who's always called King of the Mountain and a King of the Mountain match... Probably going to be King of the Mountain.
Probably going to be King of the Mountain. So I guess he's taking the belt with him to GFW, I guess. So let's think about this as we wrap up this portion of the program. In TNA's one pay-per-view for the year, a non-contracted TNA wrestler wins the main event of their one pay-per-view and is starting his own promotion.
Well, okay, the whole thing about bringing back the King of the Mountain match was for Jeff Jarrett to go out the way he should have.
I understand that.
I understand, you know, it's pretty stupid. It's like saying WWE is going to bring in a guy from Ring of Honor and have him headline their pay-per-view for one night and then have him take the World Heavyweight title and that's it. You know, it's weird. But when you consider that it's a smaller storyline, then yeah, it makes sense.
Since their actual storyline can't play into the actual show?
Well, considering they didn't want to give this one away on free TV for some reason.
Because, again, it has no bearing on the next 6 weeks of television.
I don't know. I've seen some of the upcoming results, and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With that being said, we're going to have the break. Lindsay, plug where you're going to be Thursday.
Thursday? I'll be here, but I'll be doing the rack. Tim P. Meester right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will... not be covering Slammiversary.
So,
but we will be continuing Ask the Rack.
So there you go.
We have 20 questions.
20 more questions to go. Alright, she's going to leave us. We're coming back. We're going to talk TNA and the Weekend Wrestling. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back. Don't want to hear your big mouth talk.
Feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cigs. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. 8 fucking lanes. 8 motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather stream dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, you fucking gotta be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green. No one's coming. No one's turning. And I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
man. Somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, it's fucking Sunday. You can't buy beer. Wait a minute. What time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to get plowed by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles!
Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It's your Pope Elijah Burt. Please understand that you're listening to one of the coolest, one of the best, one of the baddest radio stations in all of America, Wild Talk Radio. Let's go!
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim Stein is on assignment, just so everyone's aware. He should be back next week on the show. At least that's the working plan.
If he comes back, Omega and I are going on 2 weeks holiday, okay?
Nope, can't. Omega had his week off. You may have a week coming to you.
Don't leave me alone. Don't leave me alone.
Oh, King Kid, don't you worry. We take another break. I got more in the TNA archive. Don't you worry for the TNA music. Because, you know, phenomenal. So, we're here. We're going to dive into a little bit of TNA here in a little bit from now. But as we do with our normal wrestling segment at the start of the show, and we're calling this technically the start of the real show, what is your win and fail for the week? And we'll start with the win with Mace.
Well, I'm going to go with the most obvious thing that I always say when this time of year happens. Thank God for Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman.
Okay, how come?
Brock's apology to Carl. Paul Heyman has a microphone once again, and I am happy. That's pretty much it. Heyman cutting promos, Brock being intimidating as fuck even when he's trying to quote-unquote apologize. And I just smile because it means one of my favorite heel combos is back.
Even though they're baby faces?
They're still fucking heels to me. I don't give a shit what role they take.
What did you think of how they handled it Monday? The whole apology?
I thought it was amusing. I can't even remember the original incident requiring an apology, but sure.
You don't remember Brock Lesnar destroying Michael Cole the night after?
Well, I do, but it doesn't really deserve an apology.
Okay. Omega, what is your win for the week?
I hate to go with the same because it's such a default answer, but I'm really having a hard time pulling anything out of Raw other than that.
So what did you think?
I will say I am a fan of Bray Wyatt doing something that might actually be legitimately scary.
Right. They actually have a renewed focus on him and making people scared of him and getting into people's minds. It's amazing if they actually did that all the time, how over he would be. Just throwing that one out there. But no, what do you think of how they handled it on Monday?
Like, they got to do something to make Seth look a little bit credible. Like, I don't know. I see reasoning, but I'm not a fan.
Okay. We'll dig a little deeper in a minute. To throw in an honorable mention just to be something different, Bo Dallas interacting with the New Day on SmackDown. That was entertaining. Same with the Bo.
I didn't see it, but I've still got SmackDown on the DVR, so I'll look into it.
All you needed, that's the only, besides the main event, which was a really good match, watching Bo Dallas trying to clap with the New Day, it's a great combo on television. That and him interacting with The Rock at a house show, nonetheless. The Rock appeared at the live event on last night, so. Very entertaining, it's on WWE's YouTube channel at the moment. Anyway, fail of the week, Mace.
Speaking of the WWE YouTube channel, my fail of the week goes to the WWE YouTube channel. Because they advertised that people internationally will be able to tune in to Tough Enough on the YouTube channel.
Did they say it could be...
I went to try and find it. I couldn't find it.
Now, here's the thing.
Yeah, listen.
Were you looking after the show ended? Or
yes, I was.
Okay. I think they were airing it live on YouTube. I don't know if they archived it on YouTube.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's live on YouTube. It is archived on YouTube, which is fucking annoying because it means that if I'm not up at fucking midnight to watch the live version, which I tell you now, I'm not going to be bothered to do.
Wait, why would you have to be up at
midnight? Then I miss the show.
Why would you have to be up at midnight?
Time conversion.
That's not your midnight.
It's on, what?
8 p.m. 10? 8 p.m. Eastern. How's that midnight?
Even 10 p.m. Okay, so it's 10 p.m. for me. I'm actually going to bed at that time.
No, it would be right where you're on now, Mace. It would be 3 hours ago from now. You're converging.
Yeah, which makes it 10 p.m. my time.
It's 10 p.m. right now?
No, it is 1:12 p.m. right now, minus 3 hours.
Okay, that would be 10 a.m.
I don't know. Fucking time conversion bullshit. That's the thing. I don't care.
It's like the start of a normal pay-per-view. That's the normal pay-per-view time it's on for you.
Even so, it's like having to fuck around with all this shit.
It was just more.
I understand. Yeah, I fucked up time conversion. Ha ha ha! Shut up, Rock. Okay, put that point to bed. All right. But the thing is, if you miss the live version, it's tough shit situation. You're basically told you can't watch. You don't watch it live. Oh well, fuck you. What about all those people who are working at the time that this is on and don't have it on a local network or something like that? How are they supposed to view it? Where is an archive? Because it's not on the fucking WWE network that we're paying $9.99 a month for. It's not on the fucking YouTube channel that they said we could watch it on. Sure, we get the live version on YouTube, but, you know, you miss it, tough shit. So in order to watch the show, I've got to watch it illegally, even though I'm paying for illegal network service that they are providing. I'm just saying that their archive service for what they have offered or have promoted is bullshit.
I think the reason why it cannot be archived on YouTube is because of the USA Network contract. I think they were trying to make it...
So they can't archive it on the fucking network that we're paying for?
It's the same thing with Monday Night Raw. It airs... It would probably be 30 days later. Because of the contract.
Well, then I hope that they're enjoying those the contract money because, fuck me, there's going to be a lot of people torrenting their shows. This show's a big flaw in the WWE network as a whole.
I don't know why. How's it? It's television. That's the television contract. You're getting paid more money to keep it exclusive, and then bring it over to the network later. I don't know if
it's America versus the rest of the fucking world. Television just isn't a localized medium anymore, Rock.
When it's over hundreds of millions of dollars, yes it is. If Australia was paying hundreds of millions of dollars for the rights to it, then that would be one thing, but they're not. USA Network is. It's a different...
Well, my point is, if I have to go out and torrent their fucking show, then they've failed. That's my fail for the week.
Okay. Omega?
Can the Bellas pick a side and stick to it?
No.
There's this big thing where you see on dirt sheets and reports that, okay, well, we have the whole give divas a chance thing that trended on Twitter. You have a lot of divas speaking up, and you have Triple H and Stephanie going, yeah, we need to change how women in the WWE are seen. The Bellas are fucking schizophrenic. The Bellas are a good example of why everything is still wrong in the Divas division, where they can't keep them straight month to month, whether or not they are face or heel. And it doesn't help when they and the rest of the roster are really, really just booked like a bunch of crazy bitches. Like, there really isn't variety in the Divas division, even personality-wise right now. And the fact that they can just make anyone face or heel anytime they want without any kind of storyline, any kind of consistency, it shows how little they give a fuck. I'm getting tired of it. Like the you know, but with, you know, we got talents like Becky Lynch and Charlotte, you know who can come to that main roster and actually make something credible out of it, and they give me no reason to hope for that. I don't know. It's frustrating.
It is, and it seemed like Naomi was the face on one of the shows. I don't... And she went heel. I don't even know. And they don't know, and they're even confused sometimes. Like, when AJ lost the belt to Nikki, because they were telling a story at Comic-Con, they were told in Gorilla, how can you do girls do this match in 30 seconds? And that's what happened when they changed the title in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a lot of stuff planned for the bell angle that they completely dropped. So there you go.
The call ups can't happen quick enough, to be honest. Because that's half the problem, is that they just don't have a Divas roster right now on the main shows.
They have
at least not one of substantial enough depth that they can actually, you know, keep people as one side for 1 week.
Right, because they have there's talent up there. They just don't use the talent. And they were talking about how all the girls are begging for them to bring up the new girls so they would have other opponents to wrestle. So the girls know it. They're waiting on WWE to do it. Speaking of talent on a roster, this one mainly concerns me and Maze. WWE 2K16 update, and they're going with the whole largest roster ever. They're actually putting in 120 unique playable superstars in Divas, Maze.
Yeah, and from the reports that, well, no, I wouldn't say reports, I'd say from the press release that 2K has put out, it's not including the 5 different John Cena models, 8 Mark Henrys, and 27 Triple H's.
No, it's actually 120
people.
It's
unique!
Yeah, there was like 60-something last game, and now this game's going to have over 120 unique playable superstars and divas. I have high hopes for this roster now. Because I have a feeling we're going to get a whole lot of NXT people in this game, too.
Well, they've already started promoting NXT talent. You know, they've already got Finn Balor as one of the headline people that they put out in their first roster announcement.
Right.
And supposedly there's a whole heap more coming. So there's a good chance that we are going to get our usual crop of WWE superstars and divas, but we're also going to get an NXT subset. We're also going to probably get a legend subset as well. Because 120 character models? Oi, that's
a lot of people.
That's a big ask. That is indeed a big ask.
But everyone's complaining about the
It also brings a little bit of legitimacy to something I got sent during E3, though. I was sent a very sideways picture of what looked like a roster.
Uh-huh.
And it was just interesting because there was a whole ton of unfilled character slots and 4 brands.
Raw, WWE, NXT, Legends, and Divas.
Wrong.
No? What's the other brand?
Give me a minute. ECW is the other brand. I'm trying to find the picture if I've still got a copy somewhere.
ECW. All right, better question. Which ECW?
By the look of the logo, old school.
So we're going to get Tommy Dreamer and Rob Van Dam, maybe Blue Meanie?
Dude, Blue Meanie, I so hope, just so we can get his entrance.
Probably the BWO, because, you know, I'm going by people that are working, you know, have a semi-working relationship with the company, or good terms with the company, just to, you know, to base it off of. Well, that should be interesting. It's 120 people, so technically you can call ECW legends at this point, too. So it'll be fun to see who is in the game. Really quickly, an update on Tyson Kidd. He'll be out.
And of course, as we're about to move on, is when I finally find the image of the Cinder Rock, so I can put it on the screen for everybody to look at.
We'll work back into it. Tyson Kidd is going to be out 14 months.
Yeah, but at the same time, makes Samoa Joe look like such a badass.
And everyone's coming down on Samoa Joe. Why isn't he being punished? He didn't do anything wrong. Like, the fact is, Joe didn't do anything wrong. Joe was safe. They did the move as they normally do the move. It was a freak accident. And if that's a legit thing, there you go. Sort of looks like they're a legit thing, maybe. We'll see. But it's on the technology screen for those wondering what we're talking about from the picture. Don't expect go with Axelrod and Roadkill. I think that may be a little bit of a stretch on ECW names, but we'll see on that one. So Tyson Kidd is out 14 months. Could get the zombie. I think Omega said there was at least, 10 people out on the roster these days?
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
That is a lot.
Because Eric Rowan's out 4 to 6 months with a torn bicep, which sucks for him because they're about to go on a run. You have one of the Usos out, Hideo and Sammy in NXT, just to name a few. Should WWE tone back the style a little bit?
No, not really. Like, their style is already toned down a hell of a lot. And if you tone it down anymore, what are they going to do? Turn into the World Arm Wrestling Federation?
This is very, very true.
Because let's be honest, what's the only thing left to tone down? Okay, let's make sure people don't bump in a match.
Isn't that what the lawsuit is? No more bumps?
Yeah, which is bullshit. And that's the thing that annoys the crap out of me, is that, oh, well, you know, we get all these head injuries, neck injuries, blah, 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 back hurts and stuff. Of course you're going to fucking hurt. You're doing something that the human body is not designed to do. You know, all that shock hitting the system in such rapid manner, the human body is not designed to take that type of punishment. So, of course, you're going to end up with injuries. You're going to end up with pains and aches and shit. Same thing happens with MMA guys, generalized martial artists, stuntmen, football players, you know, they all take stuff that the human body is not supposed to do.
While we're at it.
You complain years later, then shut the fuck up!
Like, while we're at it, let's just, like, round up everyone in the NFL who's ever had a concussion for any reason, just have them all sue the NFL at the same time.
They did that.
They did that?
Yeah, there was a bunch
of... Because I have to expect, like, football to just become a game of walking into each other and hugging.
And there was sort of a settlement, too. Yeah. So the NFL people did actually sue. Older legends did actually sue for the head injuries.
I'm sorry, I'm like only like half paying attention. Someone on my Twitter account like was examining King of the Mountain and asked, "Is there a worse wrestling? Is there a worse like stipulation match in pro wrestling?"
Punjabi.
Oh yeah. Let's see, Punjabi prison. There was that casket thing that Abyss and somebody else did with Sting.
I have you beaten. I don't care what
you
say.
The reverse battle royal?
I don't care what you say. I have you beaten.
Kennel from Hell?
I have you beaten.
What?
I've discovered the anal explosion match.
All right, explain to the people what the anal explosion match is.
So, this comes out of Japan. Surprise.
Wait, what? Japan?
This doesn't count if it's from Kaiju Big Battle.
It is not from Kaiju Big Battle. This actually happened in Japan. Korakuen Hall, Tokyo, Japan, October 29th, 1999. They have a match where, in order to win, you have to entrap your opponent so that you can stick firecrackers into his ass and set them off.
So I'm looking at pictures. Wow.
I have a clip.
Rock,
you can see the end of the ass explosion match, Rock.
No, I'm good.
Rock, whoever this chase person is in our chat room just said War Games is one of the most horrible gimmick matches of all time. Get out!
See, the British guy is telling you to get out, Chase, because you thought War Games was bad. I'll look at the clip later. Cause
I know I should click. I know the rules.
You have to see
but
it.
I gotta see it.
All right, here we go. We're gonna do this. So, why? Why is this a thing?
Is that Hayabusa versus Kenny Omega?
The wrestler at the time is just known as H, just single H. But yes, the other is Hayabusa.
That makes hot sense.
I like how he's grabbing him around the crotch, unbuttoning his pants, and pulling down his cut-off shorts.
This was from FMW, wasn't it?
Yes.
This does not surprise me in the slightest.
And there's the firework going in the ass. And you know
how you counter it? You fart at the right moment.
Just wow.
I've been training for this match at Taco Bell for weeks. Yeah, I was trying to find that stupid TNA match where they put like a fake Alamo and a fake bull skull in the ring and called it a gimmick match. But I couldn't remember what the fuck the match was called.
Trying to remember what it's called.
Like, I literally thought it was like a Remember the Alamo match, but no. So now I have no idea.
There's a list called Dixie Carter's Worst TNA Gimmick Matches. The Lockbox Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
SMN Sadistic Madness. What? What?
Yeah, I've seen all of these.
I remember seeing it. I just looking at the name, and you go, "What? King of the Mountain, cuffed in the cage." You know, just some awful, awful gimmick matches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, with that all out of the way, we're gonna take a quick break. Come back.
We watched that man's ass explode. Coming up next.
Watch a company explode. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night. We'll be right back.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is Amazing Kong, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Just for Omega, welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm still kind of disappointed that never led to new moves with those names.
And they tried so hard to make this the new Walk by Pantera style thing where they like get the crowd involved and shit, and the crowd just went, no, fuck you.
No, not gonna. Not gonna happen whatsoever. So, we're finally gonna get into the TNA discussion, and we talked about it in the beginning of the show. Jeff Jarrett was part of it.
No, hold on. I wanna quickly continue, because I just found two more really, really bad match types that made me go, what the fuck?
Alright, go for it.
Okay. So, Googling, trying to find this one that Omega was looking for with the Alamo, I found a list of other shit. We had the Bathhouse Death Match. Believed to have been done by IWA Japan in 1995, the wrestlers competed in a pool of public bathhouses. Besides regular wrestling rules, if they leave the pool, they are disqualified.
Okay.
Fighting in a Japanese bathhouse. And a piranha death match. Basically a pool of quote-unquote piranhas, and you must put your opponent's head into the water for 10 seconds. Where he, quote-unquote, is eaten. Like, what the hell? Japan, the fuck?
As the card says, God damn it, Japan. Yeah, I've been trying to search for the gimmick match Omega is talking about.
It's bugging the hell out of me, because I remember it was the stupidest fucking thing I'd ever seen.
Kane Kittens, the, I remember the one that you're talking about, where they, it was Dustin Rhodes and somebody else brawling on the back of a semi-trailer.
The bunkhouse brawl.
Yes, the bunkhouse brawl.
My answer, I used that as, because I was trying to think of it, because the question for Ask the Rack on Thursday was favorite WCW pay-per-view, and the only one that stuck out was that one from Uncensored. It's the only thing you remember. So, yeah. Awful gimmick matches. As we sit here and try to figure out what the hell Omega was trying to search
for. I can't even remember who was in it. Like, what redneck in TNA history would have done this? I immediately went to James Storm, but I can't find it on his match history.
What was it again? It was the Cactus and the Alamo?
The thing I remember is there was an Alamo set in the ring, and there was a fake bull skull. Like, I remember making the jokes. It's like, oh, well, they're doing this match. You know, in TNA, they'll just, like, you know, put up fake cactuses and put a cow skull in the ring. And that's exactly what they fucking did. Like, it was a completely normal match, except there was a cow skull and a fake Alamo in the ring. And I tried looking for TNA Alamo match. There's nothing.
I'm trying to look it up. I've actually found one called Silent Night Bloody Night, which is a Christmas-themed hardcore match in TNA.
So,
complete with barbed wire tree and presents.
I'm pretty sure it's also a D-list horror movie.
So I'm going to transition and watch this transition, Billy Corgan took to Periscope and talked about a variety of subjects, including how TNA competes with the bigger promotions. It's a quick little answer. Take a listen.
TNA is not in a position to compete against a bigger promotion as far as production, so where can we compete? We can compete in the world of ideas.
They can compete in the world of ideas.
So, we can... In our minds, we think we're better than WWE. In our minds, Ted Turner won and Vince McMahon's homeless. It's all about, it's not reality, but the idea is there. My God.
For those who did not catch it, listen again.
TNA is not in a position to compete against a bigger promotion as far as production, so where can we compete? We can compete in the world of ideas.
I know what he's trying to say.
So do I.
There's kind of a point.
Creatively, we can try to be better than them.
But he also sounds like he's farting fairy dust. I don't know. I really don't know.
Let's continue on from his Periscope conversation. And he talks about, and we'll dive deeper into this, the talent leaving TNA Wrestling.
Yeah, just a quick note. There's a lot of changes going on in TNA since I arrived. Some of those have to do with me as far as the creative, but I certainly am not making the personnel decisions, although I am consulted. It's an interesting time for the company. We have some of the biggest talents in the company kind of going more to a free agent mode, which there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding about. Certain people are under a fixed contract, and other people are sort of a doors open to work. So even the people that are quote unquote leaving are actually not leaving. They're already booked in many cases to come back and work with the company already in the future. So they're not being written out of story and stuff like that. But it's understandable. Just like when a team is rebuilding, your favorite sports team or something, there's a lot of consternation about what does this mean? Why is my favorite guy leaving? Stuff like that. And I'm a fan too. So I understand why people get upset. And certainly some of the men that are leaving right now are leaving. Again, there's that word. So even I fall into it. Are tremendous talents.
So they're not leaving. We just pay them when we feel like paying them now.
We're letting people out of their contracts. They're free agents. You don't hear that in WWE now, do you?
Mm-mm.
Or in any business. Oh, we're letting people out of their contract. They're just free agents. What?
We're allowing people to explore other options while being under non-contractual basis with us.
I want someone to spin that positive. Please. I beg of you.
Okay. We're letting stories out that people are going and running away, but really we've just basically found a way to work ourselves in with Global Force Wrestling in a talent exchange, and this is all one gigantic storyline, so nanny, nanny, nanny.
No, I don't buy it.
No, me neither, and I said it.
I really can't buy it on that one.
It's like we're booking these people, we just don't have them under contract. Okay.
What?
So I don't understand why you're allowing these people to go out of contract and allowing them to go off and do other things and basically giving them an opportunity to tell you to go fuck yourself if you want to hire them. And usually per match basis contracts are usually higher than contracted talent contracts. So you're expending more money.
When they technically can afford to pay their talent. Because apparently they're late on paying their production talent again. And told said...
After tonight? I'm not surprised.
This was before the tapings, and I think the meeting was on Thursday, and they told the production talent, if you want to leave, just shake our hand, you can go. If you're not happy.
Which is a great thing to tell talent in the production that we already know is not happy.
You're being paid late again. Sorry.
Like, you're being paid late. If you don't like it, tough shit. There's the door. We don't blame you if you want to leave.
Yeah. It just,
I'm surprised they had anyone working tonight.
After these last 5 days, like, you must really love your job.
Either that, or you're really desperate for a paycheck. Because if any employer turns around and goes, okay, we're delaying your pay, and we have no idea when we're going to pay you, you don't like it, there's a door, I'd be walking straight out that door, or walking straight into a lawyer's office.
The last time they said it was because they were moving offices, that was the excuse they used last time. Don't think they can claim it this time. And Dixie Carter's going, you know, they're not leaving. They'll be still working for us. But they don't have to. You may think they're coming to work for you, but what if they don't? What if they don't come and work for you this time around? And I love it. Austin Aries, you know, we all know Austin Aries is leaving. I know that for a fact. His contract is coming up. I was told specifically his contract was coming up. Spoiler alert.
Supposedly James Storm is also done tonight as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stick with Austin Aries. Spoiler alert. Because Dixie Carter said he's still going to work for them. Spoiler alert, in about a month or so, they're doing a loser. If Austin Aries loses a match, he's out of TNA stipulation. That sounds like he's leaving your company, doesn't it?
Pretty much.
You may want to go on Twitter. Yeah, they'll still be working for us because you've taped 5-6 weeks of TV already. Alright, let's continue on. One more clip. Here's more of Billy Corgan about how TNA has evolved as a business.
The business is moving, changing every day. And hopefully, when the dust clears on these great transitional changes at TNA, which you know, I'm a part of, in some cases, like I said, big, in some cases, small. You know, I really think that the fans of TNA will see there's a real growth potential there, that the old version of the company, which obviously I came in on the very, very tail end of, didn't have the opportunity to reach the highest heights in the world. Because my position, which I've always stated with the Pumpkins, is if you can't compete at the highest levels, then you really shouldn't be competing. I mean, who wants to support a baseball team that has a, you know, 100, you know, wins and 99 losses record? I mean, you want every team to win the championship. And I think what I see going on is this company's taking a healthy step backwards to take really, really big strides forward. I know a lot of people in the business. I know a lot of people cannot see that, and I can see that. And so that goes, I guess, goes down to my credibility as someone who works in the entertainment business and somebody who does understand the general dynamics of what it means to work in a corporate world where time and money and things like that are a big thing.
I think I'm doing good things. Please keep paying me. I love my job. Blah, blah, blah. I'm so great.
They're taking the... First, let's break this down. The old version of TNA didn't have the chance to succeed in 13 years.
It did.
Bullshit. It had more chances than the current TNA did at succeeding.
It had a much better network deal. It had monthly pay-per-views. They had...
live event touring.
Live events, international events.
They had wrestlers who came in and literally, to use the pun, made an impact. You know, they had moments that made people go, holy shit, because... they weren't taping their shows up 2-3 months in advance.
And I like it. They took a healthy step back.
Healthy step back. You bled a quarter of your roster in the last week. That's not healthy.
Yeah, they. This is basically like lobbing off a leg and saying, look, Ma, I'm healthy.
Well, no, it's like lobbing off your leg and saying, hey, we're losing weight. Technically, yes. I don't
know. This guy is fucking delusional. But as delusional as Dixie Carter is, by the way.
Which is hard.
Yeah, I'm just saying, the Kool-Aid must be strong in Orlando.
They must have gotten a hold of, like, Paul Heyman's unfiltered ECW formula. Because, fucking hell, I haven't seen Kool-Aid like this in years.
Because, let's talk about this. You can put on the best creative television show in the world, but when you're losing talent week in... day in and day out, you're losing viewership day in and day out, you're not making any money day in and day out, How is that a healthy step backwards when you're losing money, losing talent, and losing an audience?
Well, that's the thing. They're not... They're losing an audience, but they're not losing an audience. Like, the weekly ratings for TNA have actually been going up.
But it's
especially since the lead-in of Ring of Honor coming on Destination America. Both shows have seen an increase in viewership on those networks.
Base.
But compared to what they used to be able to do, yes, it is a step down.
Base, it's down 20% from Fridays.
Really? I saw it was up.
No, it's going back up, but it's still down 20% from where it was on Fridays on Destination America. They were at around 500,000 on Fridays. Now they're in the mid-threes.
They're still climbing back up, I suppose.
And they were at 1.1 million to 1.2 million on Spike TV. Healthy step backwards to go forward. Healthy. Healthy.
It's like, I'm looking here, it's like, you know, the weekly recaps, it's like, yeah, okay. Destination America drew 369,000 viewers up from last week's. This is TNA's best audience in a month.
Told you. And they've been on... Ken, they've been on Wednesdays for a month now.
God. See, this isn't even us, like, bashing TNA. We're reporting what happened.
We're reporting the facts.
We're reading from a history book.
Mind you, when you look comparatively, like, just going over this past week's ratings, because that's all I've got in front of me, TNA had a total, combined with the replay, of 451,000 viewers this week, up from last week's total of 449,000 viewers. Right? So an increase of 2,000 viewers total.
Which, but for a live show, not all that great.
True. Well, tape delayed.
But it's still live. There was no spoilers.
Yeah, which was quite surprising, which was good for them. But
Before you continue. Jeff Jarrett was advertised on Twitter an hour beforehand, and it didn't really bump.
Yes, because it was tape delayed.
But I'm just saying, it didn't bump it, even with the Jarrett stuff. Continue.
Hey, it made me tune in.
It made me tune in live, too. Just not that many of us.
Now, let's have a look at this in comparison with their lead-in show, Ring of Honor, right?
Yes.
Ring of Honor had a total of 330,000 viewers this week, up from last week's total of 272,000 viewers.
Yes.
So, about, what, 58,000 viewers up on Ring of Honor compared to 2,000 up on TNA.
And that's just viewership for Ring of Honor on Destination America. Not including the probably million people around the country in the U.S. who get it on the syndicated broadcast.
Exactly, but it's like, you know, Ring of Honor getting a, like, shit 700% increase over TNA in 1 week. It's like, well, shit.
And here's the thing. Destination America made a lot more money on the Ring of Honor number than on the TNA number because they're just paying to buy the rights to show the show. They're not paying to produce it like they are with TNA. Again, facts. You know, a lot of people don't like to hear the facts. These are the facts. People are leaving the company.
Fact!
People are leaving the company, despite what people say. Oh, they could just replace people.
With what? They don't have any way to pay any new talent.
No, just remember, we've had Magnus leave. We've got James Storm finishing up. We've got Austin Aries finishing up. And Matt Morgan just came back this past week.
And we saw how awesome he was tonight. Continue.
Jeff Jarrett's back.
Hernandez.
They had Beta this past week.
They had Hernandez back.
Hernandez is back.
But to get Hernandez, they lost Lowkey. Gunner left. Samuel Shaw left.
Okay, so currently for every three that they lose, they bring back one. Okay.
And I don't think Matt Morgan's around anymore after tonight.
Oh yeah. My God.
Facts.
Kurt Angle's about to take a lot of time off.
Actually, no. He's actually supposed to only be out 3 weeks.
I think the biggest thing about that news is that Ethan Carter III has the ability to give people tumors.
Yeah.
Like, he's going around microwaving people's necks when they're not watching.
Yeah, for those unaware, Kurt Angle did a promo on Impact saying he has a tumor in his neck. It's benign, but it's been causing atrophy in his muscles. He's had it for about a year, and I guess he's finally, the pain's gotten to him too much where he has to get rid of it. He wants to get surgery on it. And supposedly, he'll be out only a few weeks and should be ready for the next set of TV tapings at the end of July.
That's if the company is around in July.
Well, no, they should be still around in July because
they're not getting canceled until September.
Which those tapings again, like we were doing last year, counting it down. Those are the tapings that supposedly will take them to their end of the renewal period. So we'll see. We'll see what is happening there. That's again, whether you can make your claims on Twitter all you want, all you TNA defenders. We like TNA. We're not trying to bash the product.
Yeah, and supposedly there was rumors going around tonight that Taryn Terrell's done and Awesome Kong were done, but they both denied that.
Yeah, they both denied that.
Supposedly Kong is contracted till at least sometime in the new year.
And same with...
If they're still around in the new year.
same with Taryn is scheduled to be around till March. But again, we can't believe those people because they're sketchy. They've never gotten anything right in them at all.
Oh, yeah.
But four people leaving is not a big deal when it's eight or nine people. Kind of a big bump there. But it's oh my God, when WWE gets rid of 10 people, it's like, it's a big deal. It's not a big deal because it's WWE.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not like they're just losing, they're lesser talent. Austin Aries and James Storm in particular are big blows to the company.
Magnus as well,
because they're all long-term guys that are known for being TNA guys.
And Magnus was supposed to be the future star of the company. It's like, and then you get James Storm, Magnus, their names. But again,
I'm just waiting for the return of Shark Boy.
Base.
When did he come back?
Hold on. We gotta do this. We gotta do this right. Hold on. Here we go.
Spoiler alert!
Coming up in the next couple weeks on Impact Wrestling, Sharkboy returns. And
wow, and, they really are desperate.
And one more.
Spoiler alert!
Norv Fernin returns.
Who?
Remember one of the skinny white dudes when Ethan Carter first debuted in TNA? You had Dewey Barnes and Norv Fernin. He comes back for an appearance. Coming up on your Impact Wrestling, check your local listings if you have it in your area.
Do we have any other news, please? This just... No.
Good thing
I'd use the old line of sense, motherfucker, do you make it? But we already know the answer. It's no.
Now we're bashing TNA.
Spoiler alert. One more time, please.
Hold on.
Spoiler alert!
Bully Ray's back!
But not as a wrestler.
No.
He's their new authority figure.
Yeah.
Because for some reason he couldn't work out a deal with Vince.
The woman who he put through a table the last time they were around each other just made him general manager.
And
spoiler alert!
She's back on TV too.
And a face now. So apparently getting driven through a table by Bully Ray is, the attitude adjuster.
It's more devastating than John Cena's.
The scary thing is...
Head against the table more than I already have.
The scary thing is if, that was just, the beginning of, some mind-controlled downward spiral and Bully's, playing the heel this whole time and she's just playing along because she's scared to death of him and she's just, a puppet for Bully to be in control of the whole company, it'd actually be a brilliant storyline. But they won't even come close to that.
Nope.
My hurts.
I'm a fucking mole, and that actually shows up, I swear to God, burning Orlando to the ground.
Please don't. I need Disneyland.
Oh, that's in California, so you're good.
Disney World, then.
Don't worry, they built it on top of a swamp. I don't think it can catch fire.
And he would only
Universal Studios, then. I need to be chased by T-Rexes.
Well, they're the ones closest to TNA, so you might be screwed there.
While they bring wrestling matches there.
That's okay. They can destroy that particular building. I don't think it's going to make any difference to the next Jurassic Park where they're going to go through the back lots filming. I swear to God, that was something that annoyed the crap out of me during Jurassic World, is I've seen the back lots, like all the back corridors of Universal Studios, and they blatantly use one of those for one of the corridor scenes in Jurassic World. I'm like, yeah, it's back lot. Yeah, it's on the back of the Jurassic Park ride. It's part of that ride. I think I saw TNA in there somewhere. See, now, why couldn't they do that? Like, we was joking around at the beginning of the show that they should have them fight through rides. Why can't TNA be a part of, like, the next Jurassic Park movie and they have the T-Rex come through and eat the wrestlers? That'd be good promotion, right?
They can't afford that type of promotion. Anyway, moving on. Should we move on, or you want to stick on?
Please!
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
This week on the all-time greatest, we have the Jackknife Powerbomb taking on the Muscle Buster and Sharon. Play along, because you'll be the, if we need a tie-break vote, you will be the decider. Alright, Omega, you're up first.
So, the move that broke the Big Show's neck, or the move that broke Tyson Kidd's neck?
Yeah. Which will it be?
The Jackknife Powerbomb is pretty much a powerbomb delivered by a really tall motherfucker. So it's just a power bomb. The Muscle Buster, it's a weird move to set up, but I love the look of it. I like the impact. Being Joe, that's a perfect kind of finisher for Joe. It just looks brutal when he does it. I'm going Muscle Buster.
Mace.
Yes, I too am going the Muscle Buster. Pretty much for the same reasons as Mega. Jackknife Powerbomb is just a power bomb delivered by Kevin Nash. The Muscle Buster, though, you get the right guy to pick up a person, put them into a really small package like that, and then just drop them and possibly break their neck. That's such a good move. I love it. And it looks so good when you do it off the top rope in SmackDown games.
So the Muscle Buster moves on again. Chat room, thanks for playing along, but we didn't need you to decide, even though they went with Muscle Buster. 3D takes on the traditional DDT. Mace.
Quite obvious. I'm going to go with DDT. How unusual, because those of you who have seen me play through a WWE game on our Twitch channel, whenever I usually try to get that up and running every year, I love my DDTs. And it's one of my favorite moves when I was wrestling as well. Because there's just something, it's so simple, but when done right, when the right person is delivering it, the right person is taking it, it looks like a killer move. It looks like just poetry. Absolutely glorious move. And as WWE recently put out a compilation thing about the DDT, you got to make sure you get the right guy who's bumping it and make sure it's not Adrian Neville, because he bounces like Shawn Michaels did against Hulk Hogan in 2005. So DDT.
Oh my God.
Let's make it interesting. 3D. I understand the
traditional...
Because
you want to piss off Bully Ray?
Pretty much.
Do you know who he is?
I'm not sure he knows who he is right now. It's TNA. He's probably going to be someone else in about 2 months. And then about unemployed in about 4 months. I really like the 3D. It's a really solid tag team move. Whether it's normal onto a mat or through a table, it's got a combination of two classic kind of moves. It looks like it hurts like hell. It's a good move for two people to put on where it looks like both of them are actually accomplishing something, unlike things like, you know, Doomsday Device. DDT, like, I will give it credit. It's got legacy done right. It looks good. It just never struck me as a move that should finish a match.
So we go to the chat room. 3D, DDT, 3D, 3D, 3D. So the 3D moves on. Next week, to round out round number 3 of the greatest, the all-time greatest. Yes, we're already finished the round, and it's only been 4 weeks. How about that? We'll have the 450 Splash taking on the F5, while the Red Arrow takes on the Tombstone Piledriver. Next, on the all-time greatest. We now go to Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some WrestleTalk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Wow. Step up to the plate and get ready for some WrestleTalk Radio Quick Hits.
Mace, if you could be an Avenger for one day, which Avenger would you be?
If I could be an Avenger, which Avenger would I be? Okay. I'm going to ask for clarification. When you say Avengers, which version do you mean? Because there's been about 8,000 different lineups.
Let's go with the latest version.
So in other words, let's go with sort of movie, if...
Yeah, let's go with the movie. Everyone... It's the easiest one to go to. We'll go with that. To make it topical.
I would be... Tony Stark. Because he has the best toys. Pure and simple. He has the best toys. I couldn't be Captain America. He lives too clean. I wouldn't be Hulk, because let's face it, when he becomes Bruce Banner, he's just Bruce. I wouldn't be Hawkeye, because nobody wants to be Hawkeye. I wouldn't want to be Thor, because frankly, I couldn't stand that many fangirls running after me going, "Where's your brother? Where's your brother?" So yeah, I'm going to be Tony Stark, Iron Man.
Oh, I got the same question.
See, Iron Man is the easy answer, because Iron Man has fucking everything. You know what, Mace? Fuck you. I want to be Hawkeye. Aside from the fact that I've always wanted to take up archery, I want to have balls like that. There's an alien invasion going on. Everyone around me at least has a gun or some kind of incredible superpower. I'm a motherfucker with a bow and no armor on. Not even a helmet. Come fucking get me.
There you go. Mace, is Cookie Monster a furry?
Interesting conundrum. Well, considering that the definition of a furry is somebody who dresses up as an animal for some sort of pleasure, whether it is sexual, emotional, or other, and Cookie Monster is just a furry monster, I would go technically no, because he's not doing the dressing up part, and he's not doing it because of some sort of happiness or thrill. It is just who he is. That being said, Cookie Monster is fucking awesome.
And finally to Omega, who wins in a serial mascot fight? Captain Crunch, the rabbit from Trix, or Lucky from Lucky Charms?
Considering one has a pirate ship and the other two are known for... Well, no, Lucky's just known for running away. He's purely defensive. He's not going to win a fight.
Okay.
Trix Rabbit is completely OCD. He's not gonna, like, even if you say, oh, you get a bowl of Trix if you win. Because you know what? Motherfucker Captain. You don't get that rank for nothing. He's at least got a pirate ship. It's a vote for Captain Crunch. You can move on now.
I know. I was reading Eric Young's Twitter just to see if it was good to leave.
I just find it amusing that we're tackling like these weird ass questions, like, you know, is Cookie Monster a furry and who would win out of these cereal mascots? Like, we actually have some sort of logical, you know, pathway to think about all this shit. Like the real weird ones where we should be just going, you know what, this guy because fuck it. We actually, like, analyze like it's some serious discussion. We're weird.
Yeah, we are. This will do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wall Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, the Raw Post Show live at 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw. Thursday night is another edition of The Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern. Go back and listen to our 3-year celebration spectacular, where we answered 40 of the 60 questions we got for Ask the Rack, and we'll finish off Ask the Rack this coming Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter at WTRD_Rack, Facebook.com/WTRRack, YouTube.com/WTRRack, and check out RackRadioShow.com. Follow Lindsay on Twitter, who was here earlier, at LinsWard, LinsWard. Saturday night, midnight edition of CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Rob Parks is returning to the scene of the crime. What are we talking about? Tune in to last night's episode to find out. Or listen to, you know, commercials where...
Blame Rob?
No. Here's the thing. So, you've heard the commercial where he's running across the lane, 8 motherfucking lanes of highway, right?
Of course.
7 years later, to the date, he's returning back to that city. So we're returning to that scene of the crime. 7 years to the
Hopefully he doesn't need smokes again.
Yeah, hopefully. Or we have to actually spend the after show trying to find him because his phone dies out, like we did last time. Listen to CB Radio from last night to find out what we're talking about on that one. CB Radio WTR on the Twitter, Cigarette Butts and Bandanas on the Facebook, CBRadioLive.com is the website. #BlameRob. We'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Hopefully Tim Stein will be back from assignment. Hopefully. You can follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night, Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. You can follow me on the Twitter at Wild Talk Radio at Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Get us on TuneIn, Stitcher, and iTunes, Wild Talk Radio Network. Mace.
Yes, you can follow me on the Twitters at The Mace Thing. You can also go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/WTR Games Garage, where I put out opinion videos, where I put out recaps and reviews that get put out to goddamn way too many sites at this point in time, and it seems I keep getting picked up every other week. So obviously, I'm doing something right. So once again, go to youtube.com/WTR Games Garage and check out what I've been doing with gaming.
Omega.
So as usual, all of my stuff is found over Twitter at TJ Omega. At TJ Omega is also the Twitter account. For anything that isn't on YouTube, it is tjomega.org. And if you're so inclined, over on Facebook, I am TJ Reviews. I'm trying to figure out different orders I can say it in every week, just so I don't fall into any kind of like robotic droning.
You mean like how I do have everything scripted out?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Because that's the same bugs every single week that I have to do on every show. Anyway, this has been another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live across the airwaves of All Talk Radio Network for Mace and Omega. And for Lindsay, who joined us for the first hour of the show, I'm Sir Rock, and we'll see you all week long across the airwaves of All Talk Radio Network, only on WildTalkRadio.com. I walk through my machine.